The Diary of a Scoundrel, adapted by Rodney Ackland from the comedy by Alexander Ostrovsky, with James Aubrey as Yegor Glumov, Penella Fielding as Cleopatra Mamayeva, Maxine Audley as Sofia Tulusina, Boris Denham as Anton Kutitsky, Anthony Newlands as Neil Mamayev, Patsy Smart as Madame Glumova, and Tammy Ustinov as Mashenka. The Diary of a Scoundrel. Moscow, 1868.
Mama! Get on with those letters, Mama.
There's not a bite to eat in the house.
We'll have plenty to eat if you do what I tell you.
Oh, I wish you'd find someone else to write them.
Now don't argue.
Get up, Stiopka. Lolling about in here. Your place is in the kitchen. The samovar's not been polished for weeks.
No, and I've not been paid for weeks. Not since the old man died.
Don't speak of your sainted master like that, God rest his soul. Go away, I hate the sight of you.
Well, I'm not used to living in pokey apartments. I'm the only one that stayed on with you when you moved to this place. You ought to be grateful to me.
The greatest calamity that ever happened to this country was the freeing of the serfs.
I wouldn't stay at all if it wasn't for their young master. It's only a matter of time before he'll put us on our feet again.
Well, go arrange that business with Mamayev's manservant. How much of your savings have you got left?
Only about 200 rubles, sir.
Oh, nonsense. You've got at least 500. Give me another 50.
What's this word you call? I can't understand your writing. Kachayev is a what?
A vile seducer.
Here you are, sir.
Oh, thanks, Stiopka. Here you are. Here's 5 rubles for the Mamayev job, 5 to replenish the larder, and 2 for yourself.
Thank you very much, sir.
And then don't pay for the food unless you have to.
No, sir. Very good, sir.
Get on with the letters, Mama.
The good Madame Teresina will never let you marry her niece. The dowry of 20,000 rubles.
That's exactly why I've chosen her.
They could get a prince or at least a general for that. Kashyap won't get her either, so I can't see the point of these anonymous letters about him. Your own second cousin, too.
As if that mattered to you. You know, his type, a typical hussar. If he had money, he'd only lose it at cards.
And if I could see any good coming of them.
That's my business.
What chance do you think there is?
Every sort of chance. My dear Mama, you know me. I'm intelligent, malicious, and envious of everyone better off than myself. In fact, I take after you. Yet what did I do when Papa was alive and we had money? Nothing but hang about feeling bored, writing lampoons on everybody in Moscow. Now that I've got to make a place for myself, I've realized it's not enough to make fun of all the idiots who run this city. One must know how to take advantage of their idiocies. Unfortunately, it's no good thinking of a career in Moscow. The only thing they do here is talk. All one can hope for is a bride with a fat dowry and an important job with no work and a large salary.
Where are you going to get that?
In the civil service, of course. Talk is the only thing that matters there, and nobody likes talking better than I do.
Well, stop talking now and let me write these anonymous letters.
Have you moved my diary, Mama?
It's on the table over there.
Thank you. What a mistake I made with my lampoons and malicious epigrams. From now on, it's going to be nauseating, toadying flattery, the only language the elite of Moscow understand. I shall begin with Madame Tarusina's circle. When I've squeezed that dry, I shall move on to the next.
What's this? Kachayev's a what?
Criminal? Liberal. But do you know what I intend to do, Mama, while I'm flattering these stupid fools? I must have some outlet for my feelings, or I shall go mad. It will be this, my diary. All the bitterness that boils up in my soul, I shall get rid of here, and there'll be nothing but honey on my lips.
It's that military gentleman in the hussars. I saw him getting out of a cab with another gentleman. They both look a bit tipsy to me.
Kashyap, what does he want?
Nothing, I dare say, to show off his stupidity.
I'd better hide these letters. Here you go. Put that diary away. You don't want people prying into it.
Leave them, Mama.
Dmitri Korchev and Alexander Golubin.
Glumov! My dear fellow, Madame Glumov. Allow me to present a very great friend of mine, Alexander Golubin.
Oh, chanté, madame.
Stop, you're going to attend to that job. At once, do you hear me?
Very good, sir.
If you'll excuse me, I have some correspondence to finish.
Igor, this is Alexander Golovkin. I know you'll like each other. Golovkin's a devilish clever fellow.
Well, may I ask you what I'm indebted for this visit?
Mon cher ami, have you any verses?
Verses?
Yeah, what are they called? You know, funny verses about fellows.
Lampoons. In a word, my dear sir, we want lampoons. You've got them.
I'm sorry, I've none at all.
Now, come on. We know you've got a lot of devilish funny lampoons on everybody in town. Now, be a good fellow and help my very dear friend Golovkin here. He wants to get a job writing the gossip column in a newspaper.
Oh, does he? Have you ever written anything?
Anything? I've written everything. Novels, stories, plays, articles, epics.
Have you had them published?
Oh, no, none of them been published.
They're much too good. That's the trouble.
Oh, have you read them?
No, but he's told me about them.
Nobody's interested in anything but scandal today. But who am I to write scandal about? I don't know anybody. All I want is the material. Think of the money we could make with your material and my talent.
Be a good fellow, Igor. He really needs the money. He has to drink at other fellows' expense. It's humiliating.
And I want to work. All I need is the material.
Well, I have none. I say, do you mind not scribbling on my papers, Kachev?
No.
What is it? What, a drawing of a hippopotamus?
It's not a hippopotamus. It's my respected uncle, Neil Ivanovich Mamaev. Drawn as a hippopotamus, of course.
Oh, let's see. Oh, is he an interesting personality?
He's a ghastly old bore. All he does is lecture people for their own good.
Is he rich? Important?
And that's the trouble. He's got a lot of money to leave. So I'm always having to ask him for advice. Nothing gives him greater pleasure.
All we need is an amusing title for this picture, and we'll sell it to the papers. Kutcher, right underneath, now let me think of something really witty. Write
the hypocritical hippo.
Hypocritical hippo. Yeah, but look here. We can't have it published. After all, he is my uncle.
And my cousin, incidentally.
Tell me more about him. Has he other characteristics that I could satirize?
In my opinion, he's not all there. Mm-hmm. Now, for 3 years, he's been looking for a new apartment. He doesn't really want one. It's simply an excuse to go about boring people. By the way, his wife, my Aunt Cleopatra, is in love with you, Gloomer.
Oh? Oh, really?
She saw you at the opera the other day. Who's that, she kept asking me. Her eyes were nearly popping out of her head. And she practically twisted her neck off. I should follow that up if I were you. Now, are you going to help us?
Nope.
I'll be a good fellow.
A few lampoons? Just one lampoon? Like a big ram.
I've told you I have none.
No, what seems of talking to him?
Indeed. Come, look at him.
It's working. It's all working, Mama, exactly as I planned. Cousin Cleopatra did see me from her box at the opera the other day. I knew the poor old bag was ogling me.
It's the mayor, her husband, you must get hold of. Kosheev is expecting a legacy from him. Why should he? You must get it instead. Shall I send an anonymous letter to him?
No. I've got everything planned. I know all about Mamaev. He has at least 50 nephews and cousins, including myself, whom he hasn't met yet. He picks on one of them, makes a will in his favor until he gets sick of him, then he forbids him the house, chooses another one, and renames his will again. But Kachev won't last long. This little drawing he did of Mamaev as a hippopotamus should prove very useful.
It's not very flattering, is it?
Neither is the inscription by Golovkin.
Hypocritical hippo! Oh, no!
And once I'm friendly with the Mamaevs, I can meet Krutitsky and Gorodulin, who are not only extremely important in the civil service, but are intimate friends of Madame Turusina. And once I've gained entrance to her house, there's nothing to stop me.
That's all very well, dear. But the most difficult step is the first.
Don't worry. I've taken it. Mamaev's coming here this morning.
What do you mean?
He likes looking over apartments. I found that out a few days ago. Stiopko is out arranging with a mayor's servant to bring the old fellow here. Ah, if this is Madame Manyafa, be as nice to her as possible. In fact, be more than nice to her.
Indeed I won't. Why should I lower myself in front of a disgusting common creature? A low fortune teller reeking of vodka.
A clairvoyant, Mama, and a very useful ally. She's going to tell fortunes at Madame Tarusina's next week, although Madame Tarusina doesn't know it yet. Time enough for you to play the grand old lady when I'm married to her niece. For the moment, all I ask is your help. You must treat Manyafa as if she were an archbishop. When she moves about the room, we must support her under the armpits like acolytes when a bishop saying mass. She expects that. And give her what's left of the vodka. Oh.
Madame Manyafa! Mama! It is! Madame Manyafa! Oh, our prayers are answered. Will you come in, Madame Manyafa? Oh, isn't this a great honor, Mama?
Are you feeling the vanities of the world, young man?
Oh, indeed I am. But I do need your help. Dear Madame Manyafa.
Oh, my back. Ah, that's better. Oh, dear. That's that tea they gave me when I called last. Something told me that would be an evil house.
Do you think a little drop of vodka would put you right? Mama, bring the vodka for Madame Manyafa.
Very well.
You do too much, you know. You ought to think of yourself more.
Flee from the vanities of the world. That one pious household I was in today, they gave me money for charity.
Oh.
The holy saints prefer alms to flow through holy hands instead of sinful ones.
And such holy hands. May I humbly offer 20 rubles?
Blessed are they that give. Could you make it 30?
25.
Oh, thank you. Fuck.
Ah.
It's all arranged, sir. The gentleman's on his way here now. Wait till this food.
Madame Manyafa, will you stay and share our humble meal?
A few crusts, that's all I need.
Oh, perhaps you'd like to rest first. Mama, take Madame Manyafa to your room. Let me help you up.
Oh, it's my back. God's chosen ones are so afflicted. Flee from the vanities of the world. Where's the vodka?
Mama, take the vodka with you. Madame Manyafa is worn out with all her holy work.
Oh, very well.
You didn't pay for all that food, Stiopka.
Bless you, no, sir. It's from Smirnoff's Workochev shops. I put it down on his account.
Oh, good. How much did you give Mamiev's servant?
3 rubles.
I must put all this down. Where's my diary? Ah.
Oh, that'll be Mamiev. I don't know how he'll take to this place. I told him it was a nice apartment.
Let's see. Manyafa, 25 rubles.
She's lying on my bed. I should have to have it disinfected now.
Don't come in till I call you, Mama. Go back and stay with her.
Disgusting creature. I was saving that vodka for my birthday.
Mamaya's servant, 3 rubles.
Neil Ivanovich Mamayev.
What is this? A bachelor's apartment?
Yes, sir.
Miss Averd, decently furnished, but what's the good of a bachelor's apartment to me?
Sorry, sir?
Bachelor's apartment is no good to me. A place like this for a minister of state.
Sorry, sir.
Where's the drawing room?
Sorry, sir.
I'm sorry, me, sir. Damn stupidity. There you are, you see. There's a man sitting there writing. The problem disturbing him only is too polite to say so. It's all your fault, you silly fool.
Sorry, sir.
Oh, please, don't blame him.
Sir.
I happened to hear you inquiring about an apartment in this building, and I suggested mine.
Are you the owner of this apartment?
Yes.
What do you want to let it for, then?
It's beyond my means.
Why take it in the first place? You take an expensive apartment with no money to pay for it, and then, of course, you don't know which way to turn. Oh, I know. And after getting used to spacious surroundings, you'll have to come down and live in one room with bare boards and an oil stove.
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm planning to move to a bigger apartment.
Bigger one? You haven't got the means to keep up this, and you want to take a bigger one? Are you quite mad?
No, I don't think so. It's just stupidity.
Stupidity? What nonsense.
I wish it were, but it's true. I'm just stupid.
Stupid? Well, that's funny. In what way stupid?
I'm a bit simple. Not enough brains.
Oh, dear, very sad, most regrettable. And there's no one to teach you, to guide you, I suppose.
No one.
Ah, but there are teachers, very intelligent teachers. Nobody listens to them these days. Do you know why servants are so bad nowadays? Because they no longer have to look to their masters for instruction and guidance. In the old days, I used to advise my employees on the conduct of every detail in their lives. I used to rise to the very highest spheres of thought, and there he'd be standing in front of me, so overcome that by the time I'd finished, he'd be worn out with sighing. It was good for him and a noble occupation for me, but all that has changed now since the great calamity. You know to what I am referring.
The freeing of the serfs?
Oh, the worst thing that ever happened to this country. You try lecturing a servant these days. You give him one or two lectures on metaphysics or some such exalted subject, and he goes and gives notice. What's this punishment for, he says. I haven't done anything. Yes, a punishment, he calls it.
Oh, it's wicked. Really wicked.
I am not a stern man. I do it all with words.
Oh, I wish I had an experienced friend or relation to advise me. But I haven't anyone. There's my mother, of course, but she's even more stupid than I am.
Oh, it's a very bad situation for a young man to be in.
I have got an uncle here in Moscow. At least he's really only a cousin, but I think of him as an uncle.
Well, why can't you go to him?
I wish I could. I hear he can give invaluable advice. But he doesn't even know of my existence, and nothing would induce me to scrape acquaintance with him.
That is a most regrettable attitude to take.
Oh, you misunderstand me. If he were poor like myself, I'd kneel in front of him. But he's a great man in Moscow. If I were to go and ask him for his advice, he'd think I'd come for money. How could I explain that all I wanted was the help and guidance that he alone could give me?
You don't appear to be as stupid as you say.
Yes, at times lucid moments come over me. A fog seems to clear from my brain, but only for a second. Most of the time, I feel as if I'm not quite all there. That's where I need someone to advise me.
And who is this cousin, this uncle?
Oh, I hardly remember his name. I think it's Mameyev, I think.
Mameyev?
Neil Ivanovich Mameyev.
May I ask, what is your name?
Glumov. Igor Glumov.
Oh, God bless my soul. I am that very Neil Ivanovich Mameyev that you're speaking of.
What?
Yes, it's me. It's me.
Good heavens. You're Uncle Mameyev?
Very same.
I can hardly believe it. Oh, Uncle. You will let me call you Uncle, won't you?
Oh,
please. Let me take your hand. Let me look at you. Oh, but Uncle, don't worry. I shall never intrude on you. It's quite enough for me that I've seen you in the flesh and talked to you. And I shall never forget the wonderful advice you've given me today.
My dear boy, whenever you want advice about anything, come to me.
But I always need it, Uncle, always.
Well, there you are. Come tonight, then.
Oh, how can I ever thank you? But I must break the wonderful news to Mama. Do you think I might present her to you?
Well, why not? Fetch her in.
Mama! Mama! She's not very brilliant, I'm afraid, but she's got a heart of gold.
Yes, what is it?
Mama, darling, what do you think? Only you must promise me not to cry. It may be too much for her. Who do you think has turned up? It's Papa's dear second cousin, Neil Ivanovich Mameyev. Isn't it wonderful, Mama?
Oh, indeed. I've always...
always longed to meet you.
Oh,
I've heard so much about you from my sainted husband, God rest his soul. Why, you were almost the last person he spoke of before he passed away. Do you remember you, John?
Yes.
Oh, what to think, God has sent you to us at last.
Oh, my darling.
Oh, my God.
You must promise not to cry.
I can't help it. I know it's stupid. You must forgive me. It's a shock coming so suddenly like this. Let me look at you, dear cousin. But Igor, he's not a bit like it.
Mama!
What is all this? Who is it I'm not like?
Don't listen, Uncle. She's only talking nonsense.
I'm simply saying that the portrait isn't a bit like you.
What portrait?
Well, you see, Dmitri Kachiev comes to see us sometimes. He's a nephew of yours, too, isn't he?
Such a charming fellow.
Yes, well, and what about him?
He happened to draw a picture of you. Igor, show it to Uncle.
Oh, Mama, I really don't know where I put it.
He was drawing it just now, you remember. Kachiev said, I'll draw a picture of my uncle for you and write something underneath it.
Show me this picture. Show it to me.
Oh, very well. Mama, you really ought to be more discreet.
What is this? A hippopotamus? What does it say underneath?
Uncle Mamaev, the hypocritical hippo.
If that young man dares to show his face in my house again, so that is gratitude after all I have done. I've advised him, I've lectured him, I've tried to put him on the right path. Well, at least now my eyes have been opened. Do you draw libelous portraits of me?
Oh, Uncle, please, what do you take me for?
You must come round this evening. I shall expect you, and you too, madam.
Oh, no, let me go alone. I'm sure you don't want me to come boring you with my nonsense.
Not at all. My wife will be delighted.
Mama and I look forward to it. What time do you expect us, then?
8:05.
Oh, what a wonderful chance you're coming here today. Goodbye, Uncle.
Goodbye.
It's working. It's working. Everything's going according to plan. His face when he saw the drawing.
I can hear you on the stairs.
Oh, Mama. You were very helpful indeed about the picture. Thank you.
Well, I was only doing my best.
When he saw the inscription, if that young man dares to show his face in my house again,
Has my uncle just been here?
Yes, why? And do you mind ringing before you come in?
Have you been discussing me with him?
Discussing you, Kachiev? Why should I be? He just came in to see the apartment.
I don't believe it. It's a plot, that's what it is.
Don't raise your voice in front of me, please.
I'm sorry, but I can't control myself. I ran into my uncle in the street just now, and he told me that he never wanted to see my face again. Can you imagine that?
I am imagining it. Can you imagine it, Mama?
And he's going straight to Madame Tarusina's to tell her to forbid me the house.
Why come to me? Well, I should think the explanation's in the sort of life you lead.
Well, it's no different from any other fellow. Well, whatever I may have done, it's no reason to break off a fellow's engagement to a girl. To take a fellow's legacy away.
And what about your friend?
Golutvin?
Yes, Golutvin. How dare you bring that creature to this house? How dare you introduce him to my mother?
Yes, how dare you?
I happen to be particular about the people I mix with. I must protect Mama and myself against the recurrence of such an incident. Therefore, I ask you kindly not to visit us again.
I should think not.
Have you gone mad?
Your uncle thought it fit to turn you out, and I wish to follow his example. Stiopka, show this gentleman to the door.
All right. I'm going. But if this is your work, I'm warning you, take care.
I shall take care when it's necessary. But at the moment, I see no serious danger.
This way, sir.
No!
Thank you.
Yes, we are going somewhere, my dear Grudzinski. Neither we nor those who are leading us know whither we're going or what we're going to do when we get there.
Well, the younger generation can't settle down, my mayor. They want to alter everything. Let's try this, let's try that. Well, it's easy enough to change anything. Get into the furniture. In this conservatory, for instance, I can take it, I can stand it upside down. There's change for you. But what are the centuries of wisdom, of experience, which lie behind the making of a table with four legs to stand on? There stands a table on four legs. And does it stand firmly?
Firm as a rock. Something wrong with the leg. It's a wedge underneath.
No, that's beside the point. Now, we'll take the table and we'll turn it upside down.
Ready? Right.
And, there you are, you see, we've done it.
That's it, we've done it.
So much for change. We could lay it sideways. No, upside down is more telling. Now, this should show the younger generation what their passion for change will lead to.
Yes, but will they see?
And if they don't, they must be taught to see. I mean, there are people capable of teaching, after all.
Yes, I know there are, but the tragedy of it is that they won't listen to us.
It's our own fault. We may know how to express our opinion in words, but that's not enough. We should write them.
It's all very well to say write, but you've got to have the knack of it. One may be the most intelligent man in Moscow and yet not have that particular knack. Take myself, for instance. I couldn't do it merely because I haven't got the knack. Have you got the knack?
No, yes, I write a great deal. By the way, do you happen to know of a young man who could express on paper ideas, thoughts, plans for the improvement of the Russian people?
Yes, as it happens, I know exactly the young fellow you want.
Well, he mustn't be one of those free-thinking young men one finds today.
Not in the least. I'll present him to you later.
The truth is, I've worked out a very important plan for the improvement of the Russian people, but... As you know, I express myself in the old style. Now, do you think this young friend of yours might, slightly rewrite my work for me in the less eloquent language of today?
I don't see why not.
What did you say his name was?
It's my dear cousin, Igor Glubov.
Igor has everything one hopes to find in a young man.
Oh,
Vera. John, good manners, looks. Oh! You two naughty men. Boring each other in here. You ought to be in there entertaining the guests. Igor and his mother have arrived. Now let me present you. Vera Glumova, Anton Krutitsky.
Good, madame.
Oh, I'm quite bewildered at so much splendor. So many distinguished gentlemen. But I have a bone to pick with your dear husband, cousin Cleopatra.
With me? About what?
You are taking my son away from me. He doesn't love his poor old mother anymore. It's uncle this, uncle that, and nobody's as clever as uncle he says.
He's a good boy. A good boy.
And he doesn't want to dance with any of the young girls in the ballroom. He's quite content just to sit and watch. Or to talk to me.
I am very pleased with your son. You can tell him so.
Is this young man the one you were speaking of, Mayor?
Yes, come through and meet him.
Thank you.
You'll be very impressed by him.
Oh, you're too good to us, dear Cleopatra. It hadn't been for you, poor Igor would have lived all his life in obscurity.
Oh, but we'd have been bound to notice him sometime.
I don't see why. You have to be clever for people to notice you.
Not at all. There's no need for a great brain when you're as handsome as Igor. A good-looking young man can always find somebody who'll help him. Now, with clever men, it's different. Nobody cares tuppence if they see a clever man shabbily dressed, living in a cheap apartment, dining off cold sausage and a piece of bread. That doesn't exactly bring a lump to your throat, does it? You expect clever men to live like that. But when you see a poor boy who's young, handsome, properly dressed. Oh, it's unbearable.
What an angel you are, an angel.
We simply cannot allow a handsome young man to be spoiled by poverty. They're simple. So pure of them nowadays.
God, so grateful to you, dear Cleopatra.
Well, that's very pleasant to hear.
He positively adores you both.
Adores? Now, aren't you exaggerating?
Not a bit. He says your beauty is indescribable. It should be immortalized on canvas.
Really?
I'm afraid he has a passionate nature. He's like a volcano underneath. And ever since he met you, well, I'm frightened all the time that any moment he might erupt.
Oh. Do you think he might?
Oh, dear, I'm afraid I've said too much and spoilt everything.
Like a volcano, is he? Now, what he wants is an experienced woman to guide him.
Oh, couldn't it be you?
Me? Oh, you're very fond of him, I can see that.
Fond is my only child. I love him, I love him.
We must love him together.
We must, we will.
Oh, I was looking for Mama. I didn't know you were with her, Aunt Cleopatra.
Well, come on, come in. Nothing to be afraid of. Why are you so shy still?
If you and Mama are...
Oh, your aunt's had quite enough of my foolish nonsense, I'm sure. Cleopatra, dear, let me get you some refreshments.
No, thank you. Get yourself something, though.
You mustn't be so bashful, Igor. Stay and talk to your aunt.
Igor. Come. Sit down next to me. Come on. You must be more free and easy in your manner, Igor.
Yes, Aunt.
And don't call me Aunt all the time.
Oh. May I really call you Cleopatra?
Of course, you silly boy. And why aren't you more open with me?
Open?
Yes. And I feel that something's worrying you. I see a wild look in your eyes sometimes. Couldn't you tell me what it is?
Oh, if only I could. If only you were...
Were what?
A middle-aged woman.
But I don't want to be a middle-aged woman.
Oh, the very thought of it is unbearable. What I mean is, if you weren't so young and beautiful, I wouldn't feel so shy.
Now sit closer and tell me everything. Frank. Why wouldn't you be so shy if I were a middle-aged woman?
A young woman has her own affairs, her own interests. Her life's full of gaiety and amusement. The last thing in the world she wants to see is some dull nephew or cousin with a long face always importuning her with tedious requests. With a middle-aged woman, it would be different. She'd enjoy bustling about Moscow, using her influence for him.
Well, just supposing I were a middle-aged woman... What would you ask me to do for you?
Well, for instance, I know you'd only have to say one word to Ivan Gorodulin and I should get a good post in the civil service.
Yes, one word to Gorodulin would be enough.
But it wouldn't be fair to ask him.
Not fair? Why?
Because he's in love with you. He'd be delighted if you asked a favor of him. So to make you ask him for something for me would be like giving him a bribe.
Sheer imagination. So you don't want me to speak about you?
Oh, positively not. I couldn't let myself be indebted to you. How could I ever repay you?
Well, how would you repay a middle-aged woman?
Oh, that would be simple. I should pander to her, indulge her whims, keep... kissing her hand and telling her she didn't look a day over 25. But unless you were middle-aged, there'd be no point in that.
No, of course not.
And I dare say I'd soon become very attached to her, if she were kind and charming. Really fond of her, in fact.
But couldn't you become fond of her? A young woman?
Oh, I wouldn't dare to.
At last.
Am I intruding?
Oh, Ivan. Come in, Ivan. I was thinking of you only a moment ago. Now, let me present my cousin, Igor Glumov, Ivan Gorodulin.
Charmed.
Hello. Igor, be a dear boy and fetch me a glass of wine. It's insufferably hot tonight.
Of course.
Now, Ivan.
Yes?
Ivan, dear, I'm going to ask a favor of you. My cousin, that young man you've just met, is very charming, intelligent, and good-looking.
So much the worse for me.
And wants a job, an important job, in the civil service. Now, he's extremely capable.
In that case, they wouldn't want him.
You know, I'm going to become very bored with you in a moment, Ivan, and we shall quarrel. Do you know of a post for him?
Well, I might know something for an ordinary young man. For a paragon of intelligence, I should find it difficult. Let's have a look at this phenomenon, and I'll tell you what I could recommend him for.
Your wine, Cleopatra.
Thank you, Igor. How kind of you. Now, I'm going to leave you two men together. I'm neglecting my guests. I shall come back in a little while and see how you've got on.
What a charming woman my cousin is.
Yes, charming, charming. Ever been in the civil service?
I was once, but I gave it up.
Why?
Well, I hadn't the qualifications for the job.
Surely all one needs is an average brain and the ability to work a few hours a day.
They might be enough if one's content to finish one's life as a petty government official. If you're to get on without influence, some very different qualities are necessary.
What, for instance?
One must be able to keep one's reasoning powers in abeyance, unless specifically ordered to use them. To laugh loudly, but not too loudly, when one's superiors make a joke. To do all the thinking for them, as well as all the work for them, at the same time giving the impression that they thought of everything themselves. Besides this, you must have several sycophantic qualities, which at the same time mustn't be too obvious.
You have a considerable talent for expressing things.
Oh, I'm so glad you sympathize with my ideas.
It's not the ideas. Anyone can have ideas. It's the phrasing that's good. Would you do me a very great favor?
Of course. What?
Write all that down on paper.
If you want it, but what for?
I'll be quite frank with you. I've got to make an after-dinner speech tomorrow, and I simply haven't had the time to think about it.
Well, of course I'll help you. Don't say another word about it. Would you like me to write the whole speech for you?
Would you really? There you are, you see. We've only spoken a few words and we're friends in no time, simply because we share the same principles and ideas. I'd better go back and have a word with Cleopatra. Also, she will give these insufferable receptions. One spends the evening waiting on and flattering her because one can't afford to fall out with the old man. Are you coming?
Not for a moment.
But you talk so well, my dear fellow. We need men like you in Moscow.
You know. How did everything go? What did she say?
I can't tell you now, Mama.
What are you doing?
I'm making notes for my diary.
Have you put everything down, she said to you? Oh, the caviar's delicious. I've got four pots in my bag to take home.
Do leave me alone, Mama.
Ah, just the man I'm looking for.
Oh, I won't disturb you if you two want to talk. A silly old mother always in the way.
Yes, Uncle?
I've been talking to Kutitsky. He's written a treatise or something, and he wants it polished up a bit. It's probably all a lot of drivel, but when you see him, just flatter him a bit.
Oh, Uncle, you're asking me to do a thing like that?
So I've been just butchering him up. He can be useful to you at the moment. Later on, we can abuse him as much as we like. Then there's another rather delicate matter. What exactly are your relations with your aunt?
I beg your pardon, Uncle.
How are you behaving to her?
Correctly, I hope.
Then never mind correctness. Women aren't interested in correctness. All they want is their beauty to be recognized.
Oh, yes, yes, Uncle, of course. How stupid of
me. There you are, my boy. I know, of course, you're really only a second cousin of ours or something, but still, you are related. You can be much freer with my wife than if you were just a mere acquaintance. There's no reason why you shouldn't sometimes, absent-mindedly, kiss her hand. And having kissed it once, kiss it again. You understand?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
Bless the boy. Well, my wife is a woman of very passionate temperament. She gets very easily heated. It's quite on the cards that she might become infatuated with some young scoundrel. Whereas here you are, a decent young fellow and one that I can heartily approve of. In the words of the old proverb, the wolf will be satisfied and the sheep will remain untouched. Now, do you understand?
I can hardly speak, Uncle.
Hardly speak? Why?
It takes my breath away, the amazing power of your intellect.
Ah, well, it's always at your service, my boy, as long as you come to me for advice.
Uncle, I've had an idea. I don't suppose it's much good, but...
Now, come on, let us hear it.
Well, you know how careful one has to be in Moscow society. There's so much whispering and scandal-mongering. Now, suppose you were to introduce me to, Madame Turusina, for instance. I could openly pay court to her niece, and even propose to her if you approved. Then no one would notice what Aunt Cleopatra and I were doing. Then indeed the wolves really would be satisfied, and the sheep remain untouched.
Good, my boy, good. A very sound idea.
Of course, it wouldn't do to let my aunt know anything about it.
We won't say a word to her. Not a word.
When could you take me to Madame Turusina's uncle?
Tomorrow evening. And don't forget to do everything I've told you. As soon as we get there, start on the niece. Mashenka.
Yes, uncle.
Well, I settled it. A job for you, Igor. And a very good one, too, in the civil service.
Oh, Cleopatra. Why did you do it? I'd never have asked you to do a thing like this for me.
You've no need to, I guess.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh,
where do you go?
To find Mama. Oh, I'm so happy. I must share my happiness with her.
Are you sure you're happy, Igor?
As happy as I can ever hope to be.
You mean there's something lacking to make your happiness complete?
There's nothing more I dare hope for.
Now, come on. You can be frank with me. What do you want more than anything in the world?
I've a job in the civil service. What more could a man ask?
I don't believe it. Not for a moment. You expect me to believe that you, Igor, with your eyes that brown, want nothing more from life than a job in the civil service?
Cleopatra.
You expect me to believe that you never dream, never lie awake at nights, that you love no one?
I didn't say that.
Then you do love someone. I knew it. And she doesn't love you in return. Who is she? Tell me. Who is this cruel woman?
Oh, my God, Cleopatra, this is agony.
Tell me, Igor, I insist. Poor darling boy, are you suffering very much?
Don't. I can't bear it.
Who is she? Who is it that you love?
Oh, have pity on me, for the love of heaven.
Whisper. Only whisper the name.
The name of the woman I love?
Yes.
You. Oh, you've turned me into a madman. I'm not responsible for my actions anymore. One moment longer with you, and I don't know what I might do. Oh, my God, what have I said? Forgive me. Forgive me.
I forgive you, Igor. Kiss me. Kiss me.
Oh.
No, I won't set foot outside the grounds again today, Mashenka.
Oh, please.
Not for anything in the world. It would be sheer madness. Besides, we can sit out here on the terrace and enjoy the sunshine just as well. Oh, I'm quite exhausted. Matryosha, the footstool.
Aren't you going to your drive, dear?
I told you she'd be in today.
Yes, so it's in the car.
Yes, you told me.
My aunt's not ill, Lubinka. What's the matter, darling? It's the first time for months we've been for a drive. We can hardly get 10 yards from the gates and we have to turn back again.
Oh, why run into danger when it's not necessary?
But what danger?
I really wonder sometimes, darling, whether you're quite right in the head. You must have seen that white cat cross the path in front of us as we came out of the gates.
Cross the path in front of you?
From the right or the left?
From the left.
Oh, you poor dear. Oh, it must have given you a shock.
I wanted to give orders to stop, but I thought, no. No, I must be brave. It's no good giving in.
Oh, she's always the same. She will carry on whatever happens.
Never thinks of herself. She must be more careful.
So we drove on, and we hadn't gone more than a few yards when suddenly I saw, coming down the road towards us, a man in a brown hat.
Oh, on the left or the right side of the road?
I have told you before, Mashenka, I will not have you making fun of these things.
As if it could make any difference.
Oh, you know quite well it's a sign of terrible misfortune. And if God takes the trouble to send us a sign, two signs, in fact, telling us not to go out today, the least we can do is to take notice of them.
But God didn't have to go out today.
Oh, please, darling, this dreadful free-thinking in a child of your age, to risk one's life merely to spend an evening on her. Matryosha and Lubinka, go into the house.
Yes, just as you wish.
I know quite well why you're so intent on going out today, Mashenka. You're hoping to meet Dmitri Kurchev, who is nothing but an atheist, and whom I will not allow to enter my house.
I don't understand why you dislike Dmitri so much.
Because he laughs at the most sacred things in my presence.
When, Aunt Sophia, when?
Continually. He's always laughing at the holy pilgrims who come here. He even laughs at my having poor Lubinka and Matryosha as companions.
But you said he laughed at sacred things.
Well, of course he does. Only the other day I was saying, look, my Matryosha's face is beginning to shine with saintliness. And do you know what he dared to say? It's not with saintliness, it's with grease. Oh, I won't forgive that sort of remark. That's what free thinking leads to. I received 2 more of those letters about him yesterday.
But surely you don't take any notice of anonymous letters.
If there'd only been one, I might not, but several. And from different people.
There's a letter arrived for you, Madame Thurusena. Oh. And those tramps are in the hall again.
Tramps? I don't know to whom you're referring. You don't mean my holy pilgrims, do you?
Tramps, I call them, madam.
That's quite enough, Grigori. You know my orders. Any pilgrims that come to my house are to be taken to the kitchen and given a good meal.
Yes, madam.
Ah, here you are. Here's another one. Now listen. I am filled with horror at your choice of a creature like Dmitri Kurchev, and I tremble to think of what will happen to poor Mashenka. Do you realize he is a well-known liberal, and so on and so on?
It's extraordinary. I just don't know what to think about it.
Well, Mashenka, my dear, if you persist in going your own way, I shall do nothing to stop you. Nobody shall say I treated you like a tyrant, but you can hardly complain if I...
Don't give me a dowry.
And more important still, my blessing.
Oh, don't worry, Aunt. I wouldn't dream of marrying without a dowry. I like Dmitri Kurchev very much, but if you won't give me a dowry, there's no more to be said. But, Aunt, darling, try to understand what I feel. I'm quite well off, thanks to you, but I want to enjoy myself. I'll marry anybody you find for me, as long as he's not too boring. Oh, but the tedium of living as we do, it's too much, you must admit.
Oh, well, one can't be cross with you at your age.
I've no doubt I shall live exactly your sort of life when I'm older.
It's the right road, the straight road.
I know. Oh, but please, can't you arrange a marriage for me?
Oh, it's so difficult nowadays. The young men are so spoiled.
Surely there must be someone in Moscow. Couldn't you ask some of your friends? Kutitsky, for instance, Mameya, Gorodulin. They'd be delighted to help you find a husband for me.
They're only human beings, my darling. They can be misled, and they can mislead other people.
Well, then, what are we to do?
I shan't make any decision until we receive some special sign.
And where's the sign to come from?
Oh, you'll know soon enough when the time comes.
Aunt Sophia, don't forbid him the house.
Who?
Dmitri Kurchev.
As long as you realize he is not the man for you.
Whatever you say, I'm your obedient, dutiful little niece.
You're a dear child.
Aunt Sophia, you used to lead a gay life, didn't you?
I can't remember.
A very, very gay life.
You know a great deal.
I think you're the very best woman in the world. And I'm going to base my life on yours. I shall sin and repent, just like you.
I don't know what you're talking about, Mashenka.
Anton Krupinski, madam.
Oh, show him out here, Grigori.
Yes, madam.
My head's aching with all your prattle, Mashenka, dear. Now, you go and amuse yourself in the garden. I'll see Krutitsky alone.
All right. Don't forget to ask him, will you?
Ask him what?
If he knows of a young man for me.
Anton Krutitsky.
Oh, what a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Oh, you're very pale, my dear.
My nerves are in a dreadful state.
Your hands are cold, too. I wish you'd give up all this.
Give up what?
But too much religion's bad for the nerves.
I've told you before, I won't discuss it with you.
No, I'm only saying that in the old days, when you went about and enjoyed yourself, you were a different woman. If there happened to have been a few things that you'd rather not think about now, well, I'm sure you've amply atoned for them. Personally, I look back on some of them with a great deal of pleasure. Far from repenting, I like to recall every detail and enjoy them again.
Stop it.
Oh, well, at any rate, you looked healthier then. But you're still young. You've plenty of time to enjoy yourself.
I've no desire for that sort of enjoyment.
If I were you, I should postpone repenting till your looks start to go.
I have already asked you.
Sorry.
There's another of those dirty tramps at the front door, ma'am.
I've told you once already, Grigori. You are not to refer to them like that. Take him into the kitchen with the others. See that he's given a good meal.
I won't go into the kitchen, madam. I can't stand the stench.
Do as I tell you at once.
You ought to be more careful whom you ask into your house.
Oh, I'm quite capable of looking after myself.
Well, it's a well-known fact that a woman who takes up religion is fair game for all kinds of charlatans and swindlers.
You think I wouldn't know if someone were trying to deceive me? Oh, there are some things one can't discuss with you. Let's not talk of it. Now, when you give me your advice on a very important matter...
No, I'm always delighted to be of service to you.
You know Mashenka's reached the age when
Yes, I know.
Do you know of a suitable young man for her?
To approve of, I'm afraid.
Ah, that's the trouble.
Wait a minute. I know exactly the right young fellow for you.
Really?
Yes, he's extremely charming, rather shy and diffident, has the right ideas, and comes of a good family. Yes, he's a most exceptional fellow.
Who is he?
What's his name? Oh, Lord, what a memory. Now, wait a minute, though. He gave me his address. Ah, here it is. Igor Glumov. Keep it, it may be useful to you.
Ah, thank you.
Well, I hope it comes to something. One likes to help on the young people. Now, I must be going. Goodbye, Sophia. May I come again, or are you angry with me?
You know I'm always glad to see you.
For old time's sake.
Now, I've told
you. Yeah, I'd better go before you're cross with me again.
His age, too.
Has he gone?
Mashenka, you've not been eavesdropping.
Of course not. Did he think of anyone for me?
Ivan Gorodulin to see you, madam.
Ah, show him out here.
I'm sure he'll know of someone. Don't forget to ask, will you? Anybody you like, but you mustn't be too tedious.
Ivan Gorodulin. Ah.
Well, aren't you ashamed of yourself? Where have you been hiding all these weeks?
I have been extraordinarily busy. Business appointments, official dinners. As it is, I only have a moment.
I don't believe a word of it. Anyway, it's nice of you to call and see me sometimes. Sit down.
Another dirty old tramp in the hall.
I don't understand to what you're referring, Grigori.
A holy pilgrim.
That's better.
Gives me a turn just to look at
him. Oh, what nonsense.
He's all covered in hair. You can only see his eyes.
He must be an Italian.
He's not quite the right colour. If you ask me, he's a proper Hungarian.
A Hungarian?
That's it, madam.
Well, take him into the kitchen and see that he gets a good meal.
They're getting very noisy in there, madam. One of them's got a big...
Don't talk so much, Grigori. Do as I say at once.
Yes, madam.
Bear me your humorous comments, Ivan. Now, listen. I want to ask you something. It's about Mashenka. Do you know of a nice young man for her?
I hardly think I'm the right person to ask. I'm against any form of chains, even matrimonial ones.
But you wear them yourself.
Exactly. Wait a minute. I did meet someone the other day who had ideal husband written in large letters across his forehead.
Oh, who was it? Do try and remember.
Oh, yes, Glumov.
Igor Glumov?
Yes.
How extraordinary. Anton Krutitsky mentioned him to me just now.
Then that must mean he's the right man. He can't escape his fate. Look at the time. I must go.
Don't let me keep you from all your important appointments.
Let me know if my matchmaking proves successful.
I will, of course, and thank you for the advice. Goodbye. Igor Glumov. Igor Glumov. Matryosha Lubinka.
Yes, my dear.
Oh, I don't know what to think. Both Krutitsky and Gorodulin have suggested the same young man for Mashenka. But I haven't confidence in either of them. Still, there must be something in it if they both think highly of him. I can't sleep at night now wondering what I'm going to do with Mashenka. If I make a mistake, the sin will be on my own head. Oh, I wonder if this clairvoyant I've been hearing so much about could help. What was her name? Madame Manieva. I think there's something very supernatural about her, don't you?
Oh, yes. They say she just gave one look at a lady with toothache and the tooth stopped aching.
Oh, what's that noise? It sounds like gypsies.
It's those pilgrims, dear. Aunt, the pilgrims are having a party in the kitchen. Barrier and Masher and the new cook are all dancing with them.
Oh, the world's too evil for me.
Now go and watch.
No, Mashenka. I want to talk to you.
What did Ivan Gorodulin say?
It's very strange, but he and Krutitsky both suggested the same young man.
How wonderful.
I don't entirely trust them.
Shall I leave the cards out?
Ah, yes. Yes, tell my fortune. See if they spoke the truth. They could easily be mistaken.
But why?
Because they're ordinary human beings.
Nothing will ever be settled. It quite frightens me.
Of course it does, darling. How can we raise even a corner of the veil which hides our future without feeling afraid?
But who's going to raise it for us?
There is someone in Moscow, darling. One living being who has the power, so I'm told.
There's a person to see you, madam.
Who is it?
She says her name's Madame
Manieva. Oh,
show her out here at once. It's she, Mashenka. How extraordinary, her coming just at this moment, as if she knew what was happening, could read our thoughts. Oh, Madame Manieva, how good to see you. We didn't expect such an honor. Matryosha, Lubinka, leave Madame Manieva to a chair.
There's holiness in the house when she who's holy brings her holiness to the Holy One.
Oh, did you hear that, Lubinka?
Be quiet.
She came like a bird and went like another bird.
Oh, Matryosha, did you hear that? Isn't she wonderful?
Who do you think you're staring at?
We're all so happy that you've come to visit us, Madame Manieva. God grant we are not too unworthy.
Oh, yes, God grant we are not.
Madame Turusin is a saint, if ever there was one.
May we humbly ask you to speak to us? Have you a message for us?
Oh, my God. It's the spirits descending.
Listen, support her. Hold her hands. If she gets a shock, she might die.
I expected her in slippers, and she came in boots.
Remember that. Don't forget what she said.
Memorize it, somebody. I wanted to ask
you. The one who knows runs, the one who doesn't lies down. One girl less, one woman more.
What?
Oh, isn't it wonderful?
Spirit.
Have you something to tell us about a young man?
I see a cloud. The cloud is shifting. In the center of the cloud is Igor.
Igor? Did you hear that, dear?
May we humbly ask, who is Igor?
When you see, you will know.
Ask what colour his hair is.
Oh, be quiet. Is he dark or fair?
To some he is dark, to you he is fair.
Wonderful, wonderful.
The stranger is far away, but the one who is coming is at the gate.
At the gate?
Get ready. Prepare the banquet. Visitors are coming.
When? When?
Now, they are here.
Neil Mamayev to see you, madam, with a young gentleman.
Oh, a fair young gentleman?
Yes, madam.
Oh, show them out here immediately.
Oh, dear. One is like a dream.
Mashenka, darling, my prayers have been answered.
It's all so peculiar. I'm trembling all over.
Madame Manieva, are you all right?
I'll be all right when I've had a drop of something.
Mashenka, Lubinka, take her into the house and give her tea.
Tea? Tea's no good after a vision.
Neil Mamayev,
My dear Sofia Drusina, allow me to present my nephew, Igor Glumov.
Madame Drusina.
Exactly as she described.
He is a good lad. You will like him.
I shall love him as my own son.
Mama!
Mama, aren't you going to Madame Drusilla's?
All right, I'm coming. What's the hurry?
You're late. You should be there first thing in the morning every day.
I can't do more. I do my best. I'm worn out with it. Stay up, for the love of God, go out and do the shopping. There's nothing to eat in the house as usual. What are you putting in that diary now?
Another stupid conversation with Krutitsky.
Heaven knows what Claire Purcher's going to say when she finds out you're engaged. Has she found out?
I don't know. I wish I did, then I'd know how to handle her.
Anything in particular you fancy from the shop, sir?
No, no. Ah, to get her another bottle of vodka in case Madame Manyafa comes in.
You couldn't let me have something off that 400 roubles, could you?
Oh, you put down a tip for yourself on the account.
Thank you very much, sir.
Well, I'm going.
Mama, just a minute. Are you on close terms with Madame Drusina's companions, Matryosha and Lubinka?
Very close.
Well, don't leave anything to chance. On your way there, you'd better buy 2 snuff boxes.
All right, goodbye.
And for heaven's sake, get them to hurry up with the reception.
Which reception?
Oh, don't be stupid, Mama, for the formal announcement of the engagement.
They say it can't be for another 2 weeks at least.
Let's see. What was I going to write in my diary? Oh, yes, expenses. 2 snuff boxes for Matryosha and Lubinka. Who's that?
Anton Krupinski!
Oh, come in.
Thank you. Here's an odd. The paper's waiting for my article. They must have it this morning.
It's already.
Oh.
I hope you'll find it satisfactory.
Mm.
Here.
Excellent, bravo. A treatise on the betterment of the Russian peoples by the immediate abolition of all progressive ideas. So don't you think that all is perhaps a little strong?
But that's the theme of the article, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That all reforms, all progressive ideas are harmful?
Well, I'm not against infinitesimal changes here or there.
I have to apologize for something.
Mm-hmm.
There are several words and expressions which I've left exactly as you wrote them.
Oh, yes?
I thought our modern way of writing too weak to express the full splendor of your thoughts.
Quite right, quite right. Have you shown this to your uncle, as you call him?
No, my mayor. Good heavens, no.
No, the man's a complete idiot.
I wouldn't argue with you on that point.
Oh, this is good. Yeah, good. You know, frankly, Glumov, you made a good impression on me from the start, and I can tell you now I've spoken very highly of you in a certain quarter.
Yes, Madame Drusina told me. I can hardly find words to tell you how grateful I am.
Have you proposed yet? There's a lot of money attached to the niece.
Oh, I'm so stupid about money, sir. But I'm quite enchanted with Mashenka.
Mm.
Nobody believes in true love nowadays, but I do. I know it exists. I felt it in my own heart.
You mustn't give way to it. That's a fatal mistake. I was foolish enough to give way once. It happened about 40 years ago. I nearly died of love. I was staying in Omsk at the time, and why are you looking at me like that?
Oh, I was feeling for you, sir. I know what you must have suffered.
Yes, I was in a terrible state. They thought I had scarlet fever. We've been talking, and the article should have been in the Moscow Gazette 30 minutes ago.
My servant's out, I'm afraid. Let me take it down myself.
Yes, good fellow, and you know it's to be published anonymously. Don't say a word about it to anyone.
I promise you, I shan't breathe a word.
Well, hurry up, then. I'll make my own way down. I haven't got young legs like you.
Very well. I can never thank you enough for what you've done for me.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Very fine, young fellow. He'll go far. Hmm?
Hello.
Hello.
There you are. Anton Sergeyevich. What are you doing here?
Well, I called to see your young cousin, Madame Mameyeva.
And where is Igor?
No, he'll be back presently. If you'll excuse me, I was just on my way out.
You are an unchivalrous old gentleman. Hmm? Aren't you interested in young ladies anymore?
Oh, no, no, my day's over, I'm afraid. Over. In my time. Yes, well, I think it's time I made way for the young men.
Well, they're very disappointing these days.
Oh, yes. Yes, there are no noble feelings, no poetic flights of passion nowadays. Shall I tell you the reason? They don't give enough tragedies in the theatres. Now, I've been working on a plan for spiritually uplifting the younger generation. I prescribe Ozerov's tragedies for the upper classes and for the lower classes, cheaper beer.
Really?
Yes. But by the way, I'm very taken with your young cousin, the most delightful young fellow.
I think so, too.
Yeah, but you mustn't spoil him.
Spoil him?
Well, arranging such a fine marriage. What a charming girl she is, too.
Charming girl? What girl? What are you talking about?
Well, good heavens, Mashenka, of course. Sofia Turusina's niece, as if you didn't know. 20,000 dowry.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. It's not true.
But don't think it for money, he said. It's not because of her dowry. I really love the girl. She's an angel, an angel. And he said it with such feeling it did my heart good.
Oh.
Well, what's the matter?
I'm ill.
Hmm?
It's migraine. It's...
Well, my dear lady, God, I...
Go away, doesn't it? Leave me alone. Go, go.
Of course.
Oh, my God, I can't believe it. That is a mistake. I wonder if there's something here. Some love letter, perhaps. I did something dreadful to him if it's true. Oh, God. Pray that it's that wicked old Rutitsky making mischief. What's this? His diary. Here, something. Mashenka is enchanting. Oh, what a relief. After poor old Aunt Cleo, who looks exactly like a wolf. Oh, my God! God, I feel ill. I'm going to faint. Oh, how low of him. I'll never forgive him, never. I'll make him pay for it. Oh, to think he should have done this to me. But he can't mean it. I mean, I don't look like a horse. I know I don't. There's no humiliation bad enough for him. I'll have him crawling back to me on his knees, begging forgiveness, yes. But I can't do with this. I'll read this in full later, but for the moment I can't let him see anything. I must keep calm. Cleopatra! What a wonderful surprise! Is it really you here in my humble home, like a goddess descended from the skies?
I
came to call on your mother.
You've just missed her.
Oh, what a pity.
Well, do sit down. You're going to stay and talk to me, aren't you? Cleopatra? Are you worried about something?
About someone?
Who is it? Anyone who could make you unhappy must be a black-hearted villain.
Yes, he is. That's exactly what he is, a black-hearted villain.
At least it can't be me.
Can I really believe that?
Look into my eyes. Can't you see there that I'd rather die than cause you a moment's pain? I was poor, insignificant, and women turned away from me. And then I met you. You were so young, so beautiful. And when I told you I loved you, Cleopatra, you listened. Oh, my God, what happiness you've given me.
When are you going to be married?
Married? What do you mean?
I understand that you are getting married.
I must explain it to you, Cleopatra. I was going to tell you today. I'm in a terrible dilemma. Your husband wants me to marry. It was his idea. But I loathe the very thought of it. It's simply a question of money. He wants to see me independent and comfortably situated instead of just a poor nobody.
Do you like the young woman he's chosen for you?
She's repugnant to me. Any woman is, but you.
So you don't love her?
How could I? But I daren't show her, of course. Whom should I deceive, her or you?
Both, perhaps.
You're torturing me with your suspicions. I can't bear it. I shall stop the whole thing. stop it?
How?
Let Uncle be angry with me. I will not marry the girl.
Do you mean that?
I shall tell him today.
You realize fully what you're giving up?
Only money. I can do without that if it means losing you.
20,000 rubles, don't forget.
You think I'd change you for all the wealth in the world?
You really mean it?
With all my heart.
You're a truly noble character, Igor. There's no doubt about that. Darling, let me kiss you. Darling.
I apologize.
I must go now. Your uncle will be wondering what happened to me. Goodbye.
Cleopatra, when shall I see you again?
I shall expect you this evening.
Don't think any more of Marchenka. By that time, it will be all arranged.
Goodbye.
Until this evening. Oh, thank God that's over. Oh, well, I better get off to see Marchenka. Their patch is all right for the moment. Things aren't going too badly. Now, hats and gloves. Wallet in this pocket, diary in that. Oh, where did I put it? The desk, of course. That's funny. I swear I put it in there. My God, this is terrible. I know I put it in the desk. I remember now. If she's stolen it, this will finish everything. Oh, what a fool. What a fool to have left it lying about like that. Oh, my God, it has gone. It has. What on earth did I keep it for? Simply out of foolish, childish spite. The diary of a scoundrel written by himself. God, let me think. If Cleopatra has taken it, no fury like a woman scorned. Oh, good God, and I said she looked like a horse. I mustn't be defeated, not at this stage. I wonder if she's planning some horrible revenge. There's only one thing to do. Yes, Cleopatra Mameva, I'm not going to be defeated by you. So here we go. Straight into the lioness's jaws. And heaven help me to explain that bit about the horse.
I can't understand the thing at all.
Neither can I. It all happened so suddenly, Dmitri.
I've known him for years. I never noticed anything very special about him. I lost my temper with him once recently when I thought he'd been running me down to my uncle, but, well, he's much too decent to have done a thing like that.
One moment we weren't aware of his existence, and the next he'd become the most important thing in our lives. Mm. Ever since then, Odd's companions invariably see him in their dreams. Whenever they tell fortunes, he comes out in the cards. And I've no answer to it at all. I can't go against my aunt's wishes, and she's become absolutely devoted to him.
It all comes of my not leading a better life. And now Glumov will get you, Mashenka. And the money, too. All I can do is to quietly disappear.
Shh, they're coming. Oh, I don't want to see him now.
Are you serious, sir? Nothing, Madame Perusala, is more abhorrent to me than the idea of marrying for money. The alternative is to marry for love. But even love is too much in this world. No. I believe a true marriage must come from something higher than all this. It must be dictated by some mystic decree of fate.
Yes, yes, that's what I always say.
And I realized the only way to discover the one woman who'd been waiting for me since the beginning of time was through a miracle. I prayed for one, and it happened.
Oh, it was a miracle your coming here that day. You are the only young man in Moscow who thinks as I do.
Oh.
Everywhere one looks, one sees nothing but hideously minded liberal.
Good afternoon, Madame Tarusina.
Dmitri, but do go on, Igor. This miracle, tell me about it.
Well, I went to a wonderful clairvoyant I know of.
Madame Manifa?
No, I've never heard of her. Anyway, as soon as I entered the room, she said, "It's you who are looking for a wife. It's they who are looking for you.
Go forward with your eyes closed and you will find her.
How extraordinary.
Then a most peculiar feeling came over me. I felt as if I were enveloped in a cloud.
In a cloud? How extraordinary. Madame Magnifa saw you in it. You were in this cloud, slowly descending.
That's it. As though in a balloon. Mm. Well, very same evening, my cousin brought me to you.
Oh, it's undoubtedly a miracle. We could start a religious revival.
I remember a case like that in Kiev once. It happened to a ginger-haired fellow.
Why don't you go for a walk in the garden, Dmitri?
Very well.
It's so clearly a case of predestination that I've never even asked you about Mashenka's feelings. It's written in the stars that she will love me, or we'd never have been brought together this way.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Oh, if only everyone in Moscow could hear you speak.
Ivan Gorodulin, madam.
Oh, all right, Grigory, show him in. Entertain him for a little, will you, Igor? I think I'll go down to the summer house and look into the crystal. Oh. Perhaps we shall see something today. I thought I saw something yesterday, but when I looked closer, it was only an earwig crawling on the other side.
Ah, hello, Blumov.
Oh, how are you?
How much money are you getting?
Well, the dowry is 20,000, I believe.
So you'll be a rich man. I'll put you up for membership of my club.
Oh, thanks. Did you know that Kutitsky's treatise is to be published in a week or two?
Well, I only hope it gets torn to pieces by the press.
Nothing could be easier, anyway.
You could do it superbly. The only thing is that it might do you a lot of harm. Tell you what, why don't you write it, and I'll make out it's by me. They need showing up, these intolerable old bores.
Well, they need to look at the trash they write.
They're figures of fun, and they should be exposed as such. I do it myself, only I haven't the time. Yeah. Where's your fiancée?
In the garden.
I'll go and have a chat with her.
I'll follow directly. Aunt Cleopatra's coming to see me here. She's perfectly reconciled to my marriage. Don't you think that's charming of her?
Charming.
Ah, Cleopatra! I'm out here.
Oh. Where? Have you found your diary?
No.
Ooh. Who could have taken it then? Are you sure you haven't left it somewhere?
Absolutely certain.
Why are you so afraid of people reading it?
Oh, nothing particular. Only my intimate thoughts, a few love poems, some tender lines about women's faces.
Well, you needn't worry. Everybody writes diaries like that. Now, where's your fiancé?
Somewhere about. I'm not interested. Ah, there's proof for you that I'm only marrying for money and position. I've offered my hand to the bride, my pocket for the money, but my heart remains with you.
You're a dangerous person. One listens and listens, and in the end, one almost believes it. Well, go on. You'd better go to your fiancé. You must be with her as much as possible, if only for appearances' sake.
Very well, but only because you're sending me to her yourself.
Yes, yes, go on, go on. Yes, my friend. You're rejoicing a little bit too soon. You won't be so pleased with yourself when I've finished with you.
Oh, hello. Goodbye, Aunt. I'm going home.
Home? No, wait a minute. You look sad, Dmitri. I think I can guess why. Stay a moment. I want to talk to you.
Oh?
There are a lot of things that you're not aware of.
Please, let me go, Aunt Cleopatra.
I'm going soon. You can see me home. Listen, be frank with me. I know you're in love with Mashenka.
Yes.
Well, don't give up hope. Life's full of surprises. Oh, Mashenka, my darling. Congratulations. You look prettier each time I see you. I'm so glad to hear that you're happy.
Igor Glumov's such a noble character that I feel quite frightened. I don't feel I'm worthy of him.
I'm sure you are, my dear, with your aunt's example always before you.
But why must it be tragedies? Why not comedies? Kutitsky and I are discussing how to bring spirituality to the younger generation.
Well, for the reason that a tragedy depicts sentiments of the highest order, that's what they need.
Where's your niece's fiancé? I don't see him.
But where is Igor Mashenka?
He's in the garden with Gorodulin.
You know, I expected him to be a very exemplary young man, but I find he's far more wonderful than anything I dared to hope for.
Who is so wonderful? wonderful.
Igor Glumov.
Ah, I knew you'd thank me for him. I always say the right man for the right job.
Yes, Glumov should go a long way.
With I, so much happiness has been granted to me. Perhaps
this
so
parcel has arrived for you, madam.
What is it, Grigori?
I've no idea, madam.
Oh, a book.
That's Glumov's handwriting. Oh, it's his diary.
Let me see. There's a bookmark in it. Shall I read from there? Yes, please. Oh, it seems to be a bill.
What?
To Madame Manieffa, 25 rubles.
What's that?
She's always half pickled with vodka, yet takes upon herself to foretell the future. I've spent hours trying to teach her what to say, but it was with the greatest difficulty that I got an ounce of sense out of her. I am curious to know how much she gets from poor Madame T. A great deal, I should think, as Madame T is slightly cracked.
I can't bear it.
Right, Aunt Sophia, it's best to know now.
The two nauseating companions have had a couple of silver stuff boxes costing 10 rubles, in return for which they guarantee to see me in the cards as well as in their dreams each night.
They must go at once. I won't have them in this house another minute. Oh, my God, this world's too evil to live in.
You needn't complain. You're not the only one to be made a fool of.
6 anonymous letters to Madame Terusina, 30 kopecks.
Well, that's where they came from.
Oh, forgive me, darling. I should never have attempted to arrange your life. From now on, make your own choice.
I've made my choice, Aunt Sophia.
Mashenka.
Oh, at least, darling, you won't be deceived by Dmitri. He doesn't pretend to be anything wonderful.
You want me to go on?
Yes, yes, go on.
Nothing
matters now.
My mayor's servant, who brought his master to me, deceitfully taking advantage of the old fellow's weakness for looking over apartments, has received 3 rubles, a sum well spent, for I hope to get a great deal more than that from the poor old hippo. There's no necessity for me to read any more.
Give it to me. I'll read it out.
No, that's all right. Thank you. I can do it. There's a conversation with me here. No interest to anybody. This is better. First visit to the doddering old Krutitsky.
What's that?
One cannot admire you enough, venerable gentleman. Only tell us how you reach the age of 60 and manage to preserve intact the brain of a 6-year-old child.
Enough. Stop its libel. Hand me that book.
No. Allow me, please. Thank you. I see there are a few words about Gorodulin here. Gorodulin was taking part in some idiotic discussion the other day, and someone accused him of being a liberal. He was so delighted that for 3 whole days he drove about Moscow telling everybody that he was a liberal. So now he is accepted as one. Well, there you are. That's just like him.
So you think that is just like me?
Hello, Ivan. Well, so you see what a study has been made of us all.
Who is this youthful juvenile?
Igor Glumov.
Ivan, take that diary back to its owner and ask him to leave as quietly and quickly as he can.
Don't alarm yourself, Madame Terusina. I should only like to point out that in dismissing me from your society, you're making a very big mistake.
We have no use for you, young man. We're decent, honest people here.
And who has decided that I am dishonest? Was it you, Krutitsky? Perhaps your piercing brain became convinced of my dishonesty when I undertook to rewrite your treatise for you?
No, look.
If you'd never got hold of my diary, you'd have looked upon me as a decent, honest man until your dying day.
Well, if I hadn't read the diary, yes, but I...
And what about you, Uncle? When did you decide that I wasn't a fit person for your society? When you were teaching me how to flatter Krutitsky? Or was it when you gave me a lesson in how to make love to your wife? So as to keep away other admirers.
Did you do that?
Well, it's no good to pick up these things now. We're all members of the same family.
I admit I made a fool of you, Madame Tourisson.
But I'm not ashamed of that.
What?
You ask to be made a fool of every day of your life.
What do you mean?
You let a vodka-sodden old woman from the streets enter your house, and you obediently choose a husband for your niece on that woman's advice.
I only know one thing. The world's too evil to live in.
I've the greatest admiration for you, Igor. Every word you've said about us is the complete truth.
Oh, oh, you speak for yourself.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, you can't live without a person like me. You're a harmless old gentleman, Anton Krutitsky. But if a man gives his true opinion of your futile project, you'd see him starve before you'd lift a finger for him.
You're taking too great an advantage of our leniency, Grumman.
Oh, don't be offended, please. You can't get on without me, Uncle. Even the servants won't listen to your interminable lectures, however much you pay them. Whereas I listen to them for nothing.
That is quite enough. It is indecent for you to remain here any longer.
And where will you get the epigrams for your after-dinner speeches without me, Goroduli?
I've no idea.
And you have need of me too, Aunt.
I've nothing to say. There's only one thing I can't forgive you, and I'll try to forget that.
You know, I thought there was something fishy about him from the beginning.
So did I. Something about his eyes.
You thought nothing of the sort. You're furious about my diary, that's all. I'd like you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that all the time I was moving in your august society, I was only honest when I was writing in that diary. What's offended you with it anyway? If I'd read out to each of you separately what I'd written about the others, you'd have roared with laughter and patted me on the back. I'm the one who should feel offended and furious, not you. One of your decent, honest members of society stole my diary.
Well, you ever do a thing like that?
Well, I consider that you've all behaved abominably, and you're not fit to enjoy the society of a decent, honest man like myself. Goodbye.
Well, perhaps we shouldn't let him go like this.
He might be making a mistake.
Yes. I don't think we ought to let him go.
I'm beginning to see things in quite a different light.
Let's get him back.
Yes.
Igor!
Yes.
Igor!
Let's get him back. Come on.
Run after him, Dimitri. And stop him before he gets to the gate.
Very well.
I feel I'd like to have a talk with him, Igor.
Igor!
Come back! Come back! Come back!